الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome back to another wonderful episode on the Silsila, The Early Echo. Wherever you are in the world, we are hoping that yourself and your family are safe and sound. Do remember the Ummah in your du'as. Make du'a for yourself, for your family members, your household, and for the general Muslim public. Because somewhere in the world, Muslims are suffering. They are being oppressed. Make dua for them that Allah Azza wa Jal protect them against the oppressors and remove the oppressors as well. Ameen bijahi khatib al-nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we are going to be talking about who is the fortunate one and who is the one who is truly successful. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. This will apply to each and every one of us because we all want to be successful in life. We all want to be successful here in the dunya. What about in the hereafter as well? And what is true success? And who is that fortunate one? Stay tuned, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. We will be exploring this, inshallah ta'ala. Before that, let's remember the beautiful hadith. Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So let's make some good intentions. Amir Ahlus Sunnah, Damat Barakatuhumul Aliyah, the founder of Dawat-e-Islami, a kamil wali of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, a great scholar of Islam, advises us that as soon as you awaken in the morning, start with your good intentions. So your thawab meter starts running from the morning. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. This is a mindset thing. If we change our mindset, we change everything. So let's make more good intentions. And oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to the Silsila of Madani channel for your pleasure and happiness. For the pleasure of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm here to seek knowledge of deen. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Don't forget to have your notebooks and diaries out because ink is the best memory. And as Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, capture knowledge by writing it down. And of course, don't forget to dedicate some time every day to recite the glorious Quran, to recite salawat and durood pak, istighfar, dhikrullah, and to seek knowledge of deen from authentic sources which Dawud Islami provides. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, there are so many blessings for reciting salawat, durood pak upon the noblest Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the last Prophet of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. It is mentioned by the beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adorn, decorate your gatherings by sending salat upon me. For your sending of salat upon me will be a light for you on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Who wants that light? Who wants that nur? Each and every one of us, we would desire that. But we have to work a little bit for it. We have to work for Jannah by toiling in this world of tests and trials. By working in this world to plant good deeds, to send durood pak upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in this lies plenty of bounties here and in the hereafter as well. So instead of wasting away our precious and short lives in unnecessary conversations and useless activities, let us make up our mindset that I have a specific purpose to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, to prepare for the grave and hereafter, and I need to arm myself, empower myself with authentic Islamic knowledge in order to fulfill that purpose. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. إن شاء الله عز وجل, we will listen to a wonderful kalam. These kalams, we should, instead of listening to things that have no benefit, oh, there is sin in that, listen to the glorious Quran. Listen to Naat-e Paak, Hamd, Manqabat, Munajat, which is available now through Dawat Islami's efforts, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, on social media, especially these kalams are available. So listen, enjoy, and be inspired as well. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Roshan kar قبر بے کسوں کی, اے شمع جمال مصطفی, آنکھوں میں چمک کے دل میں آ جا, اے شمع جمال مصطفی, اے سبز گنبد والے منظور دعا کرنا, جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا, جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا, اے نور خدا آ کر آنکھوں میں سما جانا, یا در پہ بلا لینا, یا خواب میں جانا, اے نور خدا آ کر آنکھوں میں سما جانا, یا در پہ بلا لینا, یا خواب میں آ جانا, اے پردہ نشین دل کے پردے میں رہا کرنا, جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا, میں قبر اندھیری میں گھبراؤں گا جب تنہا, امداد میری کرنے آ جانا رسول اللہ, میں قبر اندھیری میں گھبراؤں گا جب تنہا, امداد میری کرنے آ جانا رسول اللہ, روشن میری تربت کو اے نور خدا کرنا, روشن میری تربت کو اے نور خدا کرنا, جب نزعہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا, مجرم ہوں جہاں بھر کا محشر میں برہم رکھنا, رسوائے زمانہ دامن میں چھپا لینا, مجرم ہوں جہاں بھر کا محشر میں برہم رکھنا, رسوائے زمانہ دامن میں چھپا لینا، مقبول یہ عرض میری محبوب خدا کرنا، مقبول یہ عرض میری محبوب خدا کرنا، جب نظرہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا، چہرے سے ضیا پائی ان چاند ستاروں نے، اس در سے شفا پائی دکھ درد کے ماروں نے، چہرے سے ضیا پائی ان چاند ستاروں نے، اس در سے شفا پائی دکھ درد کے ماروں نے، آتا ہے انہیں صابر ہر دکھ کی دوا کرنا، آتا ہے انہیں صابر ہر دکھ کی دوا کرنا، جب نظرہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا، اے سبز گنبد والے منظور دعا کرنا، جب نظرہ کا وقت آئے دیدار عطا کرنا۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ I'm sure you enjoyed that kalam. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal. We are talking about who is the fortunate one, who is that person who is successful. When we hear about this, that if that person is very successful, that person is very fortunate, many a times, what enters our mind? Do you know? Normally it's something to do with materialism. That person, he completed his degree, his PhD and his master's, after working for studying for so many years, he is successful. That person, he opened up his own business and he's now a wealthy individual. Look at the wonderful home he has built. Look at the wonderful cars that he has. He is a successful person. Look at that individual, that he has so much of influence and a high standing in society. So many contacts and connections he has. He is successful. These are some of the things which enters into most of our minds. But is that person punctual with their salah? Do they perform their 5 daily salahs properly? Are they following the sunnah of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do they fear Allah azza wa jal? Do they recite the Quran? Do they know how to recite the Quran? Are they Islamically inclined? What about their character, their akhlaq, their mannerism? Subhanallah azza wa jal. These are the things we should firstly look at. Materialistic things come secondary, afterwards. That a person, is he obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal? Is he obedient to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? MashaAllah, this person, you know, he's following the sunnah in his attire, in his lifestyle, in his speech. He drinks according to sunnah, he talks, he walks, he eats according to sunnah, he sleeps according to sunnah. He does everything within the boundaries of the Sharia. He advises people, he extends the invitation to goodness to people, starting in his household. Look at his family, look at his kids, MashaAllah Azza wa Jal. They are following the sunnah as well. They are punctual with their salah. They read their Quran. How beautiful they read the Quran. How beautiful they recite Naat Sharif. Why does our minds not go towards that direction? Maybe you'll get people, but compared to the ones who view materialistic success as true success and fortune, very few people think like this. But this is how we suppose, this is how the Muslims always thought about it. But because of the marketing machines out there, but because of the programming, the indoctrinations on a mass scale, many of our minds unknowingly has been programmed that this is the definition of success. This is the person who is fortunate. So break free from this shackle. Break free from these tricks and traps of shaitan and realize that fortunate is that person who obeys Allah Azza wa Jal and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Fortunate is that person who is proud to be a believer, proud to be a Muslim, because a Muslim is one who submits to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Fortunate is that person who performs his 5 times salah in their time and properly, correctly, observing all the etiquettes, all the regulations and rules. The person knows what are the breakers of salah, what are the makruh tahrimi acts of salah, what are the wajibat of salah. And regarding ghusl, the same. Regarding wudu, the same as well. So the person has knowledge, not only worldly knowledge, but Islamic knowledge as well. The beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, once asked his noble companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, do you know the similitude of yourself, your family, your wealth, and your actions? The honorable Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan, they said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know better. Then the beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your similitude and the similitude of your family, your wealth and your actions is like a person who has 3 brothers. When the time of his death approaches, he calls his 3 brothers and he says to one of them, you are witnessing my condition, my state. Tell me, what can you do for me? And he replies, what I can do for you is that I can look after you. I can take care of you. I can stay with you to fulfill your needs. When you pass away, I will give your body ghusl, I will bath you. I will shroud you with the kafan. I will join with the people to carry the funeral bier on my shoulders and sometimes on other people's shoulders. And when we return, after we bury you, and someone asks about you, I will only mention good things about you in front of them. The Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, in reality, this brother is like that person's family. After saying this, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the companions alaihim ridwan, what are your thoughts regarding that person, that brother? They said, we don't see any good in him. Allahu Akbar. Listen. Furthermore, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, he calls the second brother and says to him, you can see, you are witnessing my condition. Tell me, what can you do for me? He replies, I will stay with you until you are alive. As soon as you leave this world, we will go our separate ways, because you will reach the grave and I will remain in the world. The beloved master sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in reality, this brother is that person's wealth. What are your thoughts regarding him? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the honorable companions alayhim ridwan. And they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do not consider him to be good either. And then the beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that man then calls forward his third brother. And he said, there's no doubt that you are witnessing my state, my condition. Tell me, what can you do for me? So that third brother, he consoles him. And he says, what does he say? He says, my dear brother, I will remain with you even in the grave. And I will save you from grief, from worrying. When the day of judgment, of recompense arrives, I will sit on your scales and make it heavy. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is his good action. What are your thoughts about him? He asked the Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan. They say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a very good friend. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the reality. Allahu Akbar. So family will stay behind. Wealth will stay behind. Good deeds, bad deeds will enter with the person into the grave. If the person has much good deeds which have been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will benefit him. That will help him. Don't you think that person is fortunate? Because he's going to be all alone in the grave. Helpless, lifeless. It's going to happen to me very soon. It's going to happen to you very soon. Sooner than we understand. Sooner than we realize. Within a moment, it's all going to be over. Those family that we care about so much. Yes, we should care about them. We should fulfill their rights and not violate their rights. We should make their lives as comfortable as possible, make sure they are safe and secure. That's our responsibility. That's our duty. But what am I sending for the hereafter? What am I sending? What preparations am I making for the grave? Where I'm going to be all alone. That's the same family is going to leave me and go. Whatever legacy, financial legacies I have left behind, whatever wealth and investments I have left behind, all of it, all of that materialism is staying back. That's obvious. But the good deeds that I do, that's going to help me in the grave. And truly, that person is successful. That person is fortunate. So we need to think not only constricting or constraining our minds for dunya, for the temporary. We need to think beyond that. We need to think about the grave and the world of barzakh. We need to think about the realities of the day of judgment. What's going to be my condition when it's nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself? What will be my condition? Will my good deeds be heavier or my bad deeds? Starting in this world, that we need to recognize and we need to realize that the fortunate person is that person who has been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only with worldly wealth, but with the wealth firstly of iman, with the wealth of authentic Islamic knowledge, with the wealth of correct beliefs, that is a fortunate person. With the wealth of being punctual with their ibadat, with their salahs, that is the fortunate person. With the wealth of being able to recite the Quran properly and recites it regularly, that's the fortunate person. With the wealth of practicing on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. With the wealth of obeying Allah azza wa jalla and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the wealth of abstaining from sins. With the wealth of not following in the footsteps of shaitan. Iblis, the cursed and humiliated one. This is ultimate wealth which will help them, help you, help I in the grave and the hereafter. That's the fortunate person. And further, if a person leaves this world with iman, with faith, with belief, with iman, that is ultimate success for this world. Ultimate success. Because no matter how successful a person will be materialistically, no matter how famous and rich with a high social standing in society, no matter how influential a person can be, a great influencer with millions of followers, millions of likes and shares, if the person leaves this world without iman, it's all for nothing. No matter how great a philanthropist the person is, helping out, contributing towards this drive and this charity and that fundraiser and this organization and towards uplifting fellow humans. But if they left without iman, where's the success in that? That success of theirs was just limited to this world. But once their life ended, all of that ended as well. That superficial success ended as well. Because there is nothing. There's nothing of goodness in the grave and the hereafter if a person left without iman. So to leave with iman is the ultimate success of a person that's living in this world. Ultimate. And to leave without iman is the ultimate loss. Ultimate loss in this world. And then in the grave, the person who is successfully answering all the questions where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them, the person who leaves with the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is a fortunate person, is a person who is successful and successfully answers the questions, where their grave becomes a garden from Jannah, where they are protected against the azab and the punishment of the grave, where the grave widens as far as they can see. That is the fortunate person. That person is truly successful in the world of barzakh. But the person who had great success materialistically but left without iman, and we call them, hey, what a fortunate person, how successful. And in the grave, they fail the exam, they fail the three questions, and their grave becomes a valley of Jahannam. If their grave constricts and crushes their bodies where their ribs interlock, interlace each other, what success is that? What good fortune is that? Allahu Akbar. So let us look at the reality behind. Let us move the branches and see what is behind. What is the reality and how the propaganda of shaitan, of iblis, how the marketing machines of the entertainment industry, of the social media, is trying to subtly, in a very cunning way, shrewd way, program us. Program our children via the cartoons, that even if they don't tell you, if you have a cursory glance, how do they dress? There's always music there. I'm talking about the cartoons. There's music, so get them used to music. There's immodest dress, so get the kids used to immodest dress. Then when they go into the store, that, you know, no, Ammi, Abba, I need that t-shirt with that cartoon figure on it. Even pencil case, and I want this kind of a pencil case with this cartoon figure on it. Dress, lifestyle, they're teaching a lifestyle. They're programming one with a lifestyle. Whether I admit or I don't. If a person says, and I've met people that say, no, just for to relax and for entertainment purposes, shaitan got you where he wants you. That's the spot that he wants you. And you've fallen for the trick without even realizing it. The programming. You just, you know, sitting, relaxing, having your tea, having your coffee, and seemingly enjoying that movie or cartoons or those games, those realistic games that are there. 3D games and virtual reality games or whatever it may be, linking up with people that you don't even know, and they're just programming. The programming is going subconsciously sometimes into the mind, that it's so fast on the screens, your eye doesn't, you don't see it, but it's gone in, registering into your brain, into the brains of our little ones as well. We have to monitor this. If we don't, then we'll start asking questions. Why is my child, you know, behaving like this or wanting to dress like this? Why does my child ask these kind of questions? The programming is taking place on a mass scale, and we are providing the sources to indoctrinate and program our children and ourselves as well. So you need to do some programming of your own. How can I do that when I don't have the necessary know-how, the necessary knowledge that comes with knowledge? Knowledge is power. Knowledge is light. It will empower us to empower the future generations. That you are a Muslim. A Muslim is one who submits to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. True success is to obey Allah Azza wa Jal and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and to leave this world with Iman. That is true and ultimate success of this world. And then in the grave, explain to them, true success is answering all the questions and being safe and sound in the grave in the world of Barzakh. That is true success. That's the fortunate person. We need to program the minds like this with Islamic values, Islamic teachings as well. We need to strengthen their foundation based on Sharia, the Islamic sacred law of Allah Azza wa Jalla and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't just believe everything and anything that comes out in the news, in the different news outlets that are there, in the different news platforms that are there on especially social media as well. They will make you believe that the right is wrong and the wrong is right. That no, I have a freedom to dress how I want to say what I want to say, to do what I want to do. It's my life. It's my life. I can live my life how I want to. And one of the programmings that they're doing, if you haven't realized it by now, is that they create a distance from what we are told by researchers. They create a distance between the parent and the child. And what message do they give? The message that, you know what? They may not say it. Sometimes they do. But usually it's very subtle. And if you ponder, you'll come to the realization that my parents, you know, they had their own goals in life. So, you know, don't force your ideas on me. Don't use me to fulfill the goals that you couldn't achieve, the targets that you couldn't achieve, the profession that you couldn't study. So, it's my life, like, you know, I put my own mind, my own thoughts, my own opinions. So the parents are like, you know, the parents, okay, but they're a little bit old school. The friends are cool. The friends are, you know, they understand me. When I'm with them, I'm chill, I'm relaxed, you know, everything's informal. It's fun to be with them. Parents are serious. And so this is how one of the ways, one of the strategies that they use in the entertainment industry to drive a wedge between the parent and the child. And then we want to know, my child, you know, behaves in a certain manner, is rebellious, is disobedient, because this is what they are portraying. The person rather spend time with the friend than with their family or with their mother and father. You need to start the deprogramming, starting with not allowing them to watch these things. But you yourself must not watch these things. Be careful. They are creating the distance between you and your child. You must be the number one hero. Oh, mothers and fathers out there, You are supposed to be the number one hero of your child, the number one role model of your child, the number one go-to person of your child. But if we ourselves are not obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal, are not performing our salah, our kids are not seeing us performing salah, are not hearing us reciting the Quran, are not hearing us reciting dhikrullah, durood pak, salawat, istighfar. Allahu Akbar. How can we influence them? We need to practice what we preach. This is where Dawud Islami comes in. I'm telling you, Dawud Islami is a support structure to empower us, with authentic Islamic knowledge, to empower us, to empower our future generations, whether you have children or grandchildren, nieces and nephews, siblings, to empower each other. Join today. Don't regret it. If you're looking for, you know, how can I do it? How can I be a shepherd that protects my flock? How do I arm myself? Arm yourself with the weapon of knowledge. And dua as well. Dua is the weapon of a believer. So we need to train their brain, train their minds. What is true success? Who is the really fortunate person? The one who obeys Allah Azza wa Jal. This we need to indoctrinate into their minds. If you don't indoctrinate with Islamic values and teachings, if you don't program with teachings of Al-Quran and Al-Islam, if you don't do it, the others are going to jump and they are going to start and program the mind of your child. And who's going to suffer? You will suffer. We will suffer as parents or grandparents out there. That we need to fashion their minds. This is success. To leave the world with Iman. To be successful in the grave. What about on the day of judgment? We'll come to know. Everything will be open. Will be open when all of us have gathered on Maidani Hashr, the field of gathering, the entire of humanity from the time of Nabi Adam ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam till the last person on earth. Everybody's going to be gathered. And we're going to see. And then we'll realize, obviously, it will be too late then. That, that person, I thought they were successful. I thought they were fortunate. But look at today how they are disgraced. They didn't believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. They didn't follow the teachings of Islam. They didn't follow the rules and the laws of Al-Quran. They did not follow the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were actually like this and like that. They only invested their efforts, invested their time, their wealth in dunya for name and fame. Then we'll realize that who the fortunate person is. That the fortunate person is the one who is showered with the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla on the Day of Judgment. The fortunate person will come to realize is the one who receives the shafa'ah and intercession of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the Day of Judgment. That the fortunate person is the one who gets a place in the shade of the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. The fortunate one is the one who gets to drink from the fountain of Kawthar of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The fortunate one is the one who receives his book of deeds in the right hand. The fortunate one is that person whose scale, the side of the good deeds will be heavier than the bad deeds. The fortunate one is that person who crosses as-sirat, the bridge, in the blink of an eye. Successfully crossed. That is success. All of this is true success. Because once the person passes the bridge successfully, what is at the end? Jannah. Paradise. That is ultimate success of the hereafter. To receive the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and to enter into Jannah. But we ask for Al-Firdaus, Jannat al-Firdaus, the highest heaven. Make dua every day, Ya Allah. Please grant me, my family, and the Muslims, Jannat al-Firdaus. Make that dua. That is ultimate success in this world, in the grave, and the hereafter. And these are the fortunate people. These are truly the fortunate ones. So let us think about it and live accordingly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Hadid, verse 20, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. Translation from Kanzul Iman. You should know that the life of this world is nothing but play and amusement and adornment, and you're boasting amongst yourselves and the desire to surpass each other in wealth and children. And in another part of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wa mal hayatud dunya illa mata'ul ghurur. Translation: and the life of this world is nothing but goods of deception. Have I been deceived by the goods of this world? By the luxuries and comforts and entertainments of this world? In Tafsir Surat al-Jinan, it is mentioned that the worldly life is to show pride and arrogance amongst one another, and to desire an increase in terms of one's wealth and children over others. And if this is the state of the world and it contains such evils, then instead of attaching your heart to it, to the dunya, to the world, and busying yourself in acquiring it, one needs to rather busy themselves with those actions that are beneficial for the hereafter. That is the fortunate person. That is the successful person whose blinkers are out, who sees reality for what it is, who sees this world for what it is. And this path of the fortunate ones, like the pious predecessors, the awliya Allah, like the Ahlul Bayt Athar, like the Sahaba Ikram, and of course, like the Anbiya alayhimus salam and Mursaleen alayhimus salam, this path of success, this is the path of the fortunate ones. And this path, if we travel on it, then it will lead to the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. It will lead to one attaining the bounties of paradise through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. It will lead to attain salvation from the torments of the grave and the plains of resurrection. It will lead to divine mercy descending. It will lead to goodness. It will lead to goodness here in the grave and the hereafter. The good deeds of a person will appear in a good and beautiful form in the grave. It will be a source of comfort and ease in the grave. A person attains a good name amongst the people. It increases one's lifespan. It is a means of protection and salvation in dunya and akhirah, in this world and the hereafter. It will remain with a person until the day of resurrection. It will save a person from the horrors and terrors of the plains of resurrection. It will benefit one on the scales of deeds. It will aid one in successfully crossing the bridge, as-sirat, and it will become a means of a person entering into paradise and will increase his ranks therein. O devotees of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now ask yourself, and I need to ask myself as well, who is truly fortunate? Is it the one who has a big family or lots of wealth or spends his whole time doing good deeds before entering the grave? Who is truly fortunate? We'll be right back. We have a short clip. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The very first hadith is stated in the book Sahih al-Bukhari, the most authentic book after the Holy Quran, is innamal a'malu binniyat, that is, deeds depend upon intentions. Commenting on the above hadith, the commentator of Sahih Bukhari, Mufti Shariful Haq Amdudi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has stated, this hadith implies that the reward of virtuous deeds is dependent upon intentions. The one performing deeds without a good intention deserves no reward. Here are two sayings of beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the excellence of good intentions, taken from pages 173 and 174 of the 853 page book, Jahannam mein le jaane wale amal, that means deeds leading to hell, published by Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Zawat Islami. Number one, a truthful intention is the most preferable deed. Number two, a good intention will make the bond man enter heaven. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we're talking about who is the fortunate one, who is the one who is truly successful, and we've laid it out, because this is coming from our mashayikh, from our pious predecessors, that they have shown us the pathway of the fortunate people. They have showed us that what is the way to success and the way of success. Allah Almighty states in Surah Ali Imran, verse 185, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز. Allah. Translation. So the one who is saved from the fire and is admitted into paradise is successful. There's it. There is the true ultimate success. If one is saved from the fire and enters Jannah, enters paradise, a person will only enter paradise out of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Under this verse, it is mentioned in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, we come to realize that true success is that on the Day of Judgment, a person is saved from Jahannam, from the hellfire, and is granted entry into Jannah, into paradise, into heaven. Although success in the world is success in itself, however, if this success is detrimental for the hereafter, then in reality it is a loss. Look at a person who maybe sells alcohol or is a drug dealer, who is actually a useless, dirty, filthy person, who has no conscience, who has no confidence, because one day, very soon, they will get caught, leave the authorities of this world. When the angel of death comes, he will see. Everybody has to go. Drug dealer or gangster, whoever it may be, is going to go. And then the time will start. So Maybe they're selling and they're becoming super rich by doing wrong things, by gambling. But it is detrimental for the hereafter, so that is a loss for them. In particular, those who do everything to succeed in this world by being so ambitious that they tramp upon the next person to get to the top, to climb the ladder quickly. And they don't do anything to succeed for the hereafter. They are surely in loss. And perhaps they don't even realize it. Therefore, every Muslim must focus and give more attention towards those actions that grant true success, and avoid those actions that become an obstacle on the path to true success. Shaitan is there. Nafsul Ammara is there, the desires, the ego that is there as well. And they will place obstacles. They will whisper the evil whisperings of negativity, of pulling us or making our minds towards fulfilling evil desires. We must recognize it same time. Recognize it same time, so that we don't fall into loss, so that we don't fall into those who are unfortunate and unsuccessful. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu states in Surah Al-Ghashiyah, verses 8 to 10, many faces, that is the believers, will be in serenity on that day, rejoicing over their efforts in a lofty garden. Allah. If a person left with iman but did not make sincere tawbah and repent of his sins before leaving, and if he's not forgiven through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, if he does not receive the intercession and shafa'a of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on Qiyamah, what will be the condition of that person? I want you to think about this. Don't look left and right. Look straight ahead into the mirror and ask yourself, judge yourself, what's going to be my condition? And then focus firstly on yourself, then your next generations, your kids, or if you have grandkids. Focus on that. How do I rectify? How do I reform? Dawud Islam is there to help us to reform ourselves, to reform our family members as well. Sayyiduna Abu Idris Khawlani, rahmatullahi alayhi, said to Sayyiduna Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, I love you for the sake of Allah. This great Sahabi, Sayyiduna Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, said, Mubarak to you. Congratulations to you. I heard the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that on the day of judgment, some people will be appointed with chairs around the divine throne. Their faces will be shining like the moon on the 14th night, the full moon. The people will be concerned, but they will have no worry. The people will be full of fear, the others, but they will have no fear. They are the friends of the merciful Lord Azza wa Jal. They have no fear, nor do they grieve. It was said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are they? The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, Humul mutahabuna fillah, means they love each other for the sake of Allah Almighty. Allahu Akbar. Look at the mercy of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. The mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is there waiting for you and I. So, who is the successful one? Who is the fortunate one? Become to understand now. But do I still Do I recognize it? Do I realize it? Am I walking on the path of the fortunate ones? Have I started to make my mind now that, you know, all of this superficial success is nothing. I need to live in this world for the hereafter. Nobody is saying that divorce yourself from this dunya and stay in the jungle all alone. No, we need to live amongst the people. Who's going to invite them towards goodness? Who's going to invite them towards the beauty of Islam? We live amongst the people. We go through the tests, the trials, the tribulations of life. This life is nothing but a test. It's a test. The real life is in the hereafter. So we live here for the hereafter. We plant here the seeds of good deeds to harvest in the hereafter. We live amongst the people. We have responsibilities, family, our parents, spouse, children. We can't just leave them and run away. So we should fulfill all of that. But fulfill it within the confines of the Sharia, the Islamic sacred law of Allah Azza wa Jal and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. This is the beauty of our deen. Our deen doesn't teach us just to look so far into the world of short, medium and long-term goals and plannings, but look further than that, about our condition of being successful in leaving this world, success in the grave and success on the Day of Judgment. Those are the fortunate ones. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.